I want to start this morning by just giving a brief introduction or welcome. We have some special guests here, and they're all the way from Wilkie, Saskatchewan, is that correct? And friends of Pastor Gordon and Jacqueline, friends of John back there. I heard they have a history together in gospel music and all kinds of other things. And I want to welcome you guys. Thank you for being here with us. They were here praying with us this morning, and it was wonderful. Just to give a little bit of context, they are pastors there, as well as they are very well-known in the world of gospel country music. In fact, I did a little research and found out that Bob was awarded the full-time male vocalist of the year at one point and has more than 30 other awards, is that the case, in gospel country music? And Joan has also received some awards as esteemed servant. So very awesome to have you with us, and thank you for using your giftings in such a powerful way. That's a huge deal, and I'm sure that they would love to answer any questions you have. I know he brought me a CD, and I had the chance to listen to it. A wonderful voice, so they'll be here and available, and feel free to introduce yourself, but thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Well, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians 2, beginning in verse 11. And I'm just going to recap. We're in a series right now called New Beginnings, and so I'm just going to kind of give you a little recap of where we were at last week. So last week we were in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2, and we were looking at a time when the disciples experienced a significant transition as they witnessed the ascension of Jesus and they waited for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the fact that in transitions, there's this tension of loss and gain that exists in every transition that we go through in life. But when we looked at how the disciples responded in the middle of this transition, we saw that they received a promise from the Lord. And in fact, we prayed that we too, in our times of transition, would hear a promise from the Lord for those times. They acknowledged their loss. They moved forward and they were united in prayer. They got back to business. They saw God's promise fulfilled. They remembered what Jesus had done while on the earth. And they experienced new beginnings and new growth. We also talked about the fact that new life means new seasons and the changing of the seasons. We talked about the fact that seasons don't just change once. A tree doesn't drop its leaves once in a lifetime. And a tree that stops having these cycles and these seasons of change and transition, in fact, is a dead and a lifeless tree. Transition perpetuates life. And so our choice in this is to embrace these times of transition so that we can see new beginnings and new provision take place. Well, today we're going to land in Galatians, and we're going to talk about making a move. So this letter, this book of Galatians, it was written to the church in Galatia. A great number of people, mostly the Gentiles, had accepted the Lord at this time. And after Paul left this particular church, the Judaizers moved in. Now the Judaizers, I might not be pronouncing that correctly, but we're going to go with that for now. The Judaizers were a legalistic sect of the Jewish people. And they came teaching that the Gentiles had to be under the law in order to be saved. The church of Galatia believed them, and many of them were actually circumcised because circumcision was a sign of that covenant between God and the people of Israel. Now, the Judaizers attacked Paul and his apostleship, and in fact, the foundations of this newly formed Christian faith that came out of Jesus' death and resurrection was being attacked. Now in this, and you'll see this as we read, Peter was intimidated by these Judaizers and they were withdrawing. He began withdrawing from the Gentiles who he was ministering to. Now this is the same Peter who in Acts chapter 10 had received a vision from the Lord saying, that which was once unclean has now been declared clean. So Peter had heard a very specific word from the Lord that he was to minister to the Gentiles. And now in the face of this group of people who is in stirring up trouble, he was withdrawing from those same people he was ministering to. So we're going to pick up now in Galatians chapter 2, starting verse 11, And we're going to read to verse 21 together. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him, and this is Paul speaking, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, "Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right by God, made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we've abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of the law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. So Paul here launches into why the law as the Savior doesn't work. And he emphasizes the same theme throughout the book of Galatians, that salvation by faith in Jesus Christ is the only way moving forward. They can no longer cling to the way that they once knew. It was time for them to make a move. It was time for change. They couldn't stay where they relied on the law for salvation. The law served as a tutor, and it demonstrated their need for a Savior, but that Savior had come. If we fast forward into Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25 says, "Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian." So there was a very significant change that happened here. Years, hundreds of years of living a certain way, and suddenly everything's been turned upside down and they're needing to think differently. And you can see in this the impact of Peter's hesitancy to embrace this new way, that he was kind of being pulled a little bit, well, do I go this way or do I go that way? And the impact, it said that even Barnabas was led astray, and there was fear from Peter. And in this particular situation, Peter's mixing conversion to Christ with this legalistic Judaism, where salvation had to be earned, was actually theologically wrong and dangerous. And even more concerning was that it was causing disunity and causing Peter to separate himself from the people he was called to minister to. Peter was forcing the Gentiles to live like Jews. Peter's behavior changed because he was afraid. Galatians 2:12b-13, which we read already, said he was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Sometimes transition can bring fear and uncertainty. Everyone agree with that? Yeah. I know for us, our recent transition, oh yeah, fear and uncertainty. A week and a half before we moved is when we found a place to live. Fear and uncertainty. Are we going to be living in a hotel room? We have a big tent. Are we going to be living in that? Fear and uncertainty. And in Peter's case, fear was having a big impact, and it was keeping people from moving forward into living by faith and not under the law. Well, today I want to declare to you that, church, we can't stay here. We are in a season of new beginnings, and we cannot stay with our present situation. We can't cling to what worked in the past, and we can't cling to what victories that have preceded this moment right now. We are in need of a God to do a new thing. And in fact, a month from now, we will be in need of God to do a new thing. 2 years from now, we will be in need of God to do a new thing. The church is not a fountain of youth. We need to be consistently going before God and saying, God, do a new thing in us, do a new thing in our church. And we can't let fear keep us in a place where if we stay long enough, we're going to become irrelevant and ineffective. Jesus addressed a resistance to change another time in regards to the old ways of the Pharisees and their scribe. And this is found in Mark chapter 2. It's actually found in all the Gospels, but we're going to read today from Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Sticky pages. All right. Mark 2, verse 18 to 20. Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." So what he was saying there is that once again, there were these people, the Pharisees, who were coming in and saying, "We're insisting on this is the way that things need to be done." And Jesus is saying, "No, no, there is a new and a better way." And so we don't want to be a church that tries to put new things into old wineskins. And change is a biblical concept. Growth causes change, and we are to be constantly growing. Amen? And you might question how this works in light of an unchanging God. We have the scripture on our wall. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, if he's the same, shouldn't we be the same? No. And I want to point out to you, this is a picture of a children's mobile. And as many of you know, if you wind up this mobile and it starts to turn, the bear moves, the car moves, the trailer moves, the tree moves, and the campfire moves. All of those things move. Right? So as we change, it forces those around us to move and change as well. Kind of a scary thought. However, there is a fixed point in this mobile, and that is the center of it. And it might even be that the campfire is in the center. Hard to tell from here. But there is a fixed point. Jesus is our fixed point. He is the one that stays the same. But we are to be changing, and we are to be moving. Because change is inevitable, and if we don't change intentionally, then we change by default, and it's not always in a positive way. And even without the change in personnel, meaning Ed and I coming in, a ministry needs to change and needs to reinvent and recast vision regularly in order to be relevant. And I'm not talking about change just for the sake of change, but I'm talking about making a move, moving forward. Limbs require movement so that they keep things from atrophying. So I found this just, you know, Google, very helpful resource. Muscle atrophy is defined as a decrease in the mass of the muscle. It can be a partial or complete wasting away of a muscle and is most commonly experienced when persons suffer temporary disabling circumstances such as being restricted in movement or confined to a bed. When a muscle atrophies, this leads to muscle weakness. So it's the reason why one of the first things doctors encourage you to do when you've been injured is to move. It's also one of the first things we're supposed to do simply to remain healthy. We're to move. And so the same is true for us personally and as a church. I don't want us to be a weak church that atrophies. I don't want to be a weak and ineffective Christian personally who atrophies. Where we are at presently, the positives that Pastor Gordon and Jacqueline sowed into this church, even those can't be maintained without change and movement forward. We need to be a church that moves. We have to make a move. And hanging on to the old, hanging on to the old, what does it communicate? There's a potential that it communicates weariness. There's a potential that it communicates apathy. There's even a potential, and I would know this, that it communicates stubbornness. Yeah, it's nodding. I have a stubborn streak. And we don't want that. There's a great story. Some of you may have heard this. It's kind of new for me. And it's about the roast. So a mother was preparing a pot roast for her family's Easter meal while her young daughter helped. Knowing her daughter was very curious, the mother explained each step. As she was preparing to put the pot roast in the oven, the mother explained, "Now we cut the ends off of each side of the meat." As young children often do, the daughter asked, "Why?" The mother thought of it for a moment and replied, "Because that's the way it's done. That's how your grandma did it, and that's how I do it." Not satisfied with this answer, the young girl asked if she could call her grandma. The young girl called and asked, "Grandma, why do you cut the ends off the pot roast?" Her grandma thought about it for a moment and said, "Because that's the way it's done. That's how my mom did it, and that's how I do it." Still not satisfied, the young girl called her great-grandma, who is now living in a nursing home. "Great-grandma," she said, "why do you cut the ends off the pot roast?" Her grandma said, "When I was a young mother, we had a very small oven. The pot roast wouldn't fit in the oven if I didn't cut the ends off." So hanging on to the old just for the sake of hanging on, that's not healthy. Nostalgia, remembering, absolutely healthy, but hanging on, clinging, particularly out of fear, not healthy. And when I'm talking about clinging to what is old and embracing what is new, just want to be clear, I'm not referring to people, okay? So, I mean, I remember when I was younger, I'm now 45, and that's fine, but I used to think 45 was old, right? And now it changes in relation to where you're at. Now I'm like, 45, I'm like a teenager, you know? Not the case. So I'm not referring to people, but I am referring to practices. And I am referring to places where we might be stuck and places where there's a danger of atrophying occur, whether that's personally in our spiritual lives or as a church. And I want you to embrace it under both of those banners this morning, because personally we need to be moving forward in our relationship with God. The same things that might have worked at one season in our life aren't necessarily the same places we need to stay now. And that resistance to change and new beginnings, not only Peter, but I think of the Israelites when they went out and crossed the Red Sea and they were with Moses, and there was a little bit, I think, of resistance to change, where they begin to whine and complain, and we wish things were back the way they were, in slavery, in Egypt. And I think there's just a human nature and a human default sometimes to kind of put the brakes on to new things. And that's not where I want us to be. So new what? New what when we say new beginnings? What? We keep talking about new beginnings, and I'm sure some of you are like, well, what are they? I want to know. Well, I was here praying last week, and what really stood out to me as I was walking through the building is our name, New Life. New Life. And I thought to myself, are we living up to that name? Does our building, does the way we use our space live up to the name? Are we demonstrated that we are a people who embrace new beginnings and new life? Or do our surroundings look tired, look weary? Are we beginning to atrophy? And I wrote down new passion. I noticed in the prayer room, it says, "This church shall be a legacy of fire and passion." 2007. And you know what it says in there? Shall be. Doesn't say was. might be, could be, already happened, shall be. So we still have that calling. We still have that word. That word is for today. Are we reflecting that in who we are? We need to be moving. And it's time for us to make a move. It's time for us to make a move in children's ministry. I love dearly, I had a chance to meet with Tara Lee and Terry, and they said, you know, we just felt a burden for our young people. We took it upon ourselves. I know others of you have served in those areas faithfully. But you know what? It's time to make a move. We can't stay here. We need to see life and vitality and our rooms bursting at the seams with our children. That is a sign of health. We need to make a move. We can't stay here. We need to make a move in raising up new leaders. We need to see more Travises up doing the offering and on our stage and leading our groups. Because you know what? Ed and I, we are committed to this body of believers, but we're not going to be here forever. So I'm already asking, who is the new pastor of New Life Foursquare when God says that our season is done? Who is the next youth leader? Who is the next young adults leader? Who are the next children's ministry leaders? We need to make a move in raising up leaders. We can't stay here. We need to make a move in our space. We can't stay here. We need to be paying attention to what's going on around us. We need to say, what message are we giving to a world out there that we want to reach? We can't stay here. We want to reflect new life. We need to make a move in our programs. We can't stay here. We don't want to overload our church with so many programs where we bring you into the building and we're doing our own thing that you have no opportunity to go out there and reach a world for Jesus. I was thinking about a scripture I read this morning from somewhere in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, Chronicles. I have a chronological Bible, so it puts it all together. So sometimes I don't know where I've been necessarily. But it was talking about Hezekiah, and Isaiah had come and given him a word that he was going to be captive in Babylon, that all of the treasures of the temple or whatever were going to be taken away. And Isaiah said to him, but it won't happen in your lifetime. And do you know what Hezekiah's response was? Oh, good, that's a relief. I thought, really? In fact, I had written in the margin of my Bible from last year, wow, ! That's not who I want to be. I want to be concerned about what happens after us. I want to be concerned. I want to see new things, new beginnings. We need time as a church for equipping and prayer here in the building, absolutely, but we need time to be a salt and light in our community. You know, we can have a wonderful moms group. We'll re-bring people in, and we do that. Or I could send you to the moms group at the community center, and you will bring the presence of Jesus there with you. We can't stay here. It is time for new beginnings. And this isn't about building something, building our own little empire, and going, look at what we did. In fact, there are people in the Old Testament who tried that. Tower of Babel, a story you may be familiar with. Let's build our own empire and see what we can become. And it didn't end very well at all. But it's about glory and fame going to the Lord. It's about demonstrating our passion. Everyone in this room, I've talked to some of you already, we have a story to share. It can't stay in this building. We need new beginnings, new life. We need to share the new life that Jesus has done with us and the rest of the world. And this can't be done without you. A game, a football game, a hockey game, game of Monopoly, needs more than one player. We need all ages. Seniors, if you're here with us, you have a part to play in this. The book of Titus, the book of Timothy, talks about older men, older women, teach the younger. We need you to be a part of our new beginnings. You are a part of new life. And no matter your age, God can do new life in you. You are not done. And I rebuke any comment that says contrary to that. You are not done. So my question to you in closing today is, are you discontent with where we are at? And I'm not talking about a whining and complaining spirit, but a holy discontent that says we can't stay here. It's time for us to make a move. What's your vision? Ed and I certainly have plenty of vision. You know, we come in with fresh eyes and all kinds of ideas. Some of them are way over the top. I think we've kind of got a euphemism for it now. We were talking about, ha-ha, wouldn't it be great to have a climbing wall in the main auditorium? Not unrealistic. However, it did become a bit of a euphemism for, I'm just going to say, for children's ministry, this is like the climbing wall, okay? And so we've got a bit of a euphemism going away, but we want climbing walls in every area of ministry. We want to go big. We have vision, and I bet many of you do too. I bet many of you have vision. Maybe dreams that you've seen unfulfilled. Maybe things where you're saying, you know what, I think this could happen. And we want you to be a part of that. These new beginnings aren't about Ed and I going, let's do new things. Why don't you come along for the ride? This is about what can we do together as a church to move forward, to make a move, and with the end goal to impact the community around us. It's time for us to make our next move. And like I said before, this will be the first of many moves that will come because we want to consistently be growing. We want to consistently be effective. We want to consistently be relevant. We want to be the church that God has called us to be, and that is New Life Foursquare. But we must be willing to make a move, personally and as a church. And again, not for the sake of change, but growing in the direction that God wants us to. Amen? All right. Well, would you pray with me today? You can go ahead and bow your heads. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a God of new things. God, apart from you, we can do nothing. God, let us never lose sight of that. God, we can get ambitious and we can have big dreams, but God, we need you to direct our steps. God, we want to walk in partnership with you. We want to walk in alignment with you. So God, every vision, every idea that is not from you, I pray that you would just let it fall to the side in the mighty name of Jesus and let only those things that you're calling us to stand. I want to give an invitation this morning, and we said we're going to do this every week. If you're here this morning and you've never had the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior, that means you're acknowledging that he died on the cross for your sins. You're acknowledging that he is Lord. He wants to make you clean this morning. He wants to give you a new beginning and a fresh start. And if you've never made a decision to embrace Jesus as Lord and to allow that fresh start, I'd love a chance to pray with you today. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you where you are just to put up your hand. I'd love to pray with you right where you are. Is there anyone like that here? All right, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you are a God of salvation. You are a God who saves, and you've saved each one of us, Lord God, from so many things, and we are humbled by that. Second way I want to pray today is maybe you're facing some new beginnings, some transitions, and fear is getting in the way, and you know that fear is getting in the way of either what God's called you to do or something new you need to embrace. If that's you, I'd love a chance to pray with you. If you could just put up your hand where you are, we're going to pray that way. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's go ahead and agree together in prayer for these few who raised their hands. Lord, we bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. God, we bind the things that keep us from following into everything you have for us. God, I pray for these few who raised their hands this morning, Lord, that you would break that fear in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray that they would see the path and you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God, we pray that there would be just an incredible rise of faith and trust. Lord God, that they would embrace you as their leader through these transitions. We thank you for this. In your name. Why don't we just go ahead and stand? And we've got musicians here, and maybe we could just close in that song, Great Are You, Lord? Would that be okay? All right. So let's join voices in celebration and acknowledgement that the Lord. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Oh, great are you, Lord. Is your breath in our So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing it out. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy.
Amen. Great is the Lord. Amen. Well, God's blessings on each of you as you go, and may you experience new beginnings in your personal walk with the Lord this week. Next week is our final week in our series on new beginnings, and Pastor Ed will be bringing the word, and so we're excited about that. And we will see you. God bless you. Enjoy your week.